Evening, everyone, and welcome to our midweek Bible class this evening. This evening we've got with us our brother John Sevier again to continue his studies on Bible numeracy. To serve as an introduction to our brother John's remarks this evening, he's asked that we take a reading from Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, and we'll be commencing at Genesis chapter 1 verse 24, and we'll go through to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3. With that as an introduction, we'll ask our brother John Sevier to come forward and to continue his studies on Bible numerology. Thanks, John.
Well, good evening, everyone. In the first class, we covered 1 to 6. Tonight, we're going from 7 to 10,000 times 10,000. So if you're making notes, you've got a few numbers to write down in between. So we finish with the words, on the sixth day, man was made. Going back, we saw one was oneness, two union, three complete, four creation, five grace, six the number of man. Seven, God rested. And we think of number seven as spiritual perfection. 7 days of creation, but it's the seventh when it's rest. And we think about the time, of course, in the future. It'll be the 7,000th year. We'll see the kingdom in the earth. Right now, of course, many of us have been focusing upon what's happening with Russia. But what is the most important thing? Our minds are going to Russia and Ukraine and everything, but what's the most important thing about it? Go back and read Elpis Israel. And there in the beginning of the book, there's a statement about Russia. The future movements of Russia are notable signs of the times because they're predicted in the scriptures. We understand that. When Russia makes its grand move, and of course that's what we're seeing, this is a grand move. I mean, there's been Crimea and there's been Chechnya, but nothing like Ukraine. When it makes its grand move for the building up of its image empire, then let the reader know that the end of all things, as at present constituted, is at hand. And here's the key. Long expected but stealthy advent of the King of Israel will be on the eve of becoming a fact. And that's the important thing. We know that when Russia comes down into Israel and what's going to happen there, Ezekiel 38 and Daniel and so on, but we're gone before that happens. When Russia makes its move, then the next move will be Christ returning. Saints taken, the judgment seat, the time of fellowship, all the organisation that has to do. A lot of things have to happen before Russia comes down like a whirlwind into the Middle East. So don't go expecting movements down into the Middle East before we're gone, before our Lord. So there's the important thing, and salvation will be to those who not only look for it, but have trimmed their lamps by believing the gospel of the kingdom under the obedience of faith and the perfection thereof in the fruits meet for repentance. Well, what about number seven? What do we think of? Perhaps back to the colours and the bow. R, O, what are they? Roy, G, Biv, isn't it? Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. Seven. Where do we read of a sevenfold promise? Genesis 12. Let's just go back to Genesis 12, to Abraham. In the AV, you will find, it's a little bit different, say, to the New King James, but there are seven promises. Genesis 12, verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Seven promises. The very beginning of our Bible to Abraham. And we know the promises to Abraham, how important they are. But the last promise was, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Or another place, all nations of the earth shall be blessed. And we'll see that in the seventh millennium. The day of rest for many. Time when Christ and the saints are in Jerusalem. There are several sevenths. Moses went back into the mount on the seventh time to get again the Ten Commandments. Remember, he went up, he brought the commandments back. That was the fifth time, the grace of God, and there was the golden calf. They were smashed. He went back up into the mount and he pleaded for God to forgive. Show me thy ways, forgive the people. And then on that seventh ascent, they were given again, the Ten Commandments again. So number seven is to do with a completed work. And there was the completeness of the work there, the commandments. Fall of Jericho, we know these stories. Remember we said in the first session, this is not really an exposition study class, it's really getting us to think about the things that we've learnt and known, and through our readings and Sunday school and all sorts of things come to mind, and you can think of lots of things. The fall of Jericho on the seventh day. Seven times they went around that city. Completeness about it. Completed work. You think about Naaman the leper. Seven times he had to be into the River Jordan. Seven times. If Israel had only walked around Jericho six times, if Naaman had only gone into the Jordan six times, nothing would have happened. It was the seventh time. You might remember with number six we had earthquakes. Six of them. This is playing up. Can't get my seven. Last. What's the seventh? Great earthquake. Where?
Revelation.
Where will it occur? Mount of Olives will split. Zechariah 14, probably the best quote. Here's another one, the spiritual warrior. You might even have this insert in your Bibles. Sword, a breastplate, the loins, the feet, the helmet, the shield. Six things, but what was the seventh listed?
Prayer.
Number seven was prayer. That completed the spiritual warrior. Little thing, but maybe the next time you read Ephesians 6, you might colour code, six things in and then prayer on the end. Brother Tim's favourite, I am. Seven statements of the Lord. I am the true vine. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth and the life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. Before Abraham was, I am. We read in John 5. The seven I ams. And he completed that work. Revelation 1. We're all familiar with the opening there, the vision. Seven lampstands, or seven lights on the lampstand. Seven stars. All about seven. The letters to the seven ecclesias. Now, there were more than seven ecclesias in Asia. I mean, there was Colossae. There was another one. There was Hierapolis up the road from Laodicea and that. But the Lord sent seven letters. And the book of Revelation is full of sevens. The seven seals then follow after the letters to the seven ecclesias, and seal after seal, giving the history of things which must shortly come to pass. You read a little statement like this: worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honour, glory and blessing. Seven. Seven things. Signifying his complete work. And then in the book of Revelation, of course, sometimes it's seen like a telescope. You have the seals, the seven seals, and then to that go to the seven trumpets, and then the seven vials, and then to the seven thunders. But in between each one, there's a vision given of the end result of the day of the kingdom, the thing to look forward to. And then it would show how things could lead up to that. And right now, of course, we're in the sixth vial. The drying up of the river Euphrates, the drying up of the Turkish Empire, a huge movement of that drying up in World War I. And now we see Turkey and the links with Russia starting to come, and Russia just above, making its move, all coming to pass. Then the Lord will come. Then you get Armageddon. And the destruction of the Russian forces. But Christ comes before that. So there we are in the sixth vial right now. So seven seals, seven trumpets, seven vials, seven thunders, which will then occur later. So all these sevens, the book of life, it's mentioned in Exodus. Moses' day. It's mentioned at the end of the Old Testament in Malachi. And then four times in Revelation, there's the seven. To him that overcometh, I'll give to eat of the tree of life. One after the other, there were seven blessings given to the seven ecclesias. But four times in Revelation, the book of life. Going up into the temple, seven steps. Remember how when Solomon had six steps up to his throne, but in the day of the kingdom, going into the temple, seven steps. So there's our number seven. Well, number eight is like a new beginning. 7,000 years. Second resurrection, second judgment, the end of mortality on the earth, the end of God's kingdom ruled by Christ and the saints from Jerusalem on the earth. But the kingdom continues on after that. God all and in all. That's the eighth millennium. All immortal. No mortality. No more death. It's a different epoch. So, what can you think of in Scripture with eight? Not so easy.
Eight souls
or so. Right? Right? Well, let's put down a couple others. Abraham had eight sons. Six to Keturah. One to Hagar. And the next one? Who is it? He's the eighth to Sarah. The new beginning. Promises to Abraham, to Isaac, and then to Jacob. He's the seed line one. He's the one that the promises would come through. The eighth, new beginning there. And of course, Isaac is a type of Christ. And interestingly, he's mentioned eight times in the Gospels. Just a little thing. But it's number eight. You mentioned circumcision. Who in Scripture is mentioned specifically as having been circumcised on the eighth day? Paul? They're all in the New Testament. Is it said? This is where it's actually stated. Well, the first one is John the Baptist. And the second one, Isaac's mentioned as having been baptized, having been circumcised on the eighth day. And then, of course, as you mentioned, Paul. They're the three that are specifically mentioned, stating that on the eighth day they were circumcised. Now, here's another one. There were eight individual resurrections in the Bible. Can you name any?
What?
Pardon? I can't bend with it. Yeah, we've still got a few to go. Jairus' daughter. Well, the widow of Zarephath's son.
The prophet.
Shunammite's son. The man thrown in Elisha's tomb. Jairus' daughter. Lazarus. Dorcas. Eutychus. Didn't say Christ. Yeah, this is a resurrection. Yeah, named resurrection.
Well, when he died.
Yeah. Others came out. These are specific individual recorded resurrections, eight of them. Here's an interesting one. You know how the Greek, we've seen the Greek and the Hebrew alphabet all have a number associated with their letters. Well, here's the Greeks, alpha, beta, gamma, delta, da, 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 da. All you mathematicians know all that. What's the Greek letter being used for COVID now? Omicron. Yeah, come back to that later on. Just remember that. In the Greek numbers, of course, you can put them together and the words can all come out with a number. When you come to Jesus, it comes up to 10 plus 8 plus 270 and 40 and 7, it comes out 888. That's an interesting number. We had 666. Well, here's an 888. Christ comes out to be 1,480. So, sort of doesn't mean so much, but actually it's 40 times 37, and in Jesus is 24 times 37. And there's a 37 pops up. But we don't have time to look at those sorts of numbers. We'll come to 24 and 40. But all the names and words can have a Greek number associated with them. Number 9, finality. The Hebrew word for 9 has also meaning to turn. That is, contains within itself the idea of finality. You come up, you get to number 9, you've got to stop and turn. You can't go any further and you go back again. Now, of course, in maths, you can only get to 9. Then you come back to 1, 1 naught, 1 1 1 2. You get to 1 9, you've got to go back again. Turn back and you start back, 2 1 2 3, up to 2 9, go back because it's base 10. That's our mathematics system, base 10. So there's a finality about number 9. So what comes to mind? It's the ninth hour on the cross. When Christ cried out, what did he say? It is finished! It's final. It's over. It's finished. Remember, I must be about my Father's business, the first recorded words. And there he says, it's finished. The scripture says he shouted it. It's It's all over. Life poured out. Final. It's complete. At the same time, the earth did quake. The veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom, signified the end of the law, the finality of the law. The law's finished. And now it's a different system. Grace. So there's the ninth. Number 10 is an ordinal perfection number. Perfectional completeness in an order, in a fullness of something. And perhaps you go back, the days of Noah. And you look at Noah's previous in the seed line. Remember in Cain it ended after six. You go to Noah and it's 10. You see, here's an order now. There's something specific that God has in this order of things. And Noah is the 10th. Can think of other 10s?
Ten commandments.
Ten commandments.
Ten burdens.
Yes.
Ten plagues.
Very good. 10 plagues. Waiting for it. The 10 plagues of Egypt. An order about it. The 10 virgins, as we mentioned. In Daniel, the fourth beast, 10 horns. A horn is a symbol of a nation. An order. 10 horns. Then you come to the dragon in Revelation 12. 7 heads, 7 crowns, but 10 horns again. The order about that great red dragon. And then the beast of the sea, 7 heads, 7 crowns, but 10 horns is an order about the beast of the sea, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, the three key statements in Revelation about the European scene. There's the dragon, there's Russia, there's the beast linked with Europe and Germany, and there's the false prophet, the papacy. That's what the book of Revelation's all centered around. In Revelation 17... perhaps we'll turn to this one. Let's go over to Revelation 17. And we understand how God rules in the kingdoms of men. He's in control. Before it's ever happened, it's his order. So we've seen the dragon and the beast and so on. He's telling us of things which will come to pass before they ever did. The order of things. Now in Revelation 17 and at verse 3, we're told John was carried away in the spirit in the wilderness. He saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet coloured beast. There's a woman on the beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. So there's the woman on the beast. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, a cup in her hand full of the abominations and so on. And there's a depiction of her, the woman riding the beast, the woman in control of the beast. Beast Europe, the woman linked with the papacy in control of the beast. And Catholicism still rules in Europe. I mean, there's France, a daughter of the papacy. Key nation. And that's really why, when you think about it, how critical it was when Australia pulled out of France with the submarine. We've got nothing to do with the beast at the time of the end. Who knows what happens in between, but all we're given is what it's like at the time of the end. Britain could not have been part of that submarine deal with America until she came out of the EU. And she came out of the EU. Been in there for years and years. No way could she have ever done a deal like that against an EU country. But it's been done. And there's Britain and the Young Lions all coming together. Look, brothers and sisters, young people, it's all coming together. The last few months, incredible. We mightn't think much about that submarine deal. It's huge. When you think about it, nothing to do with the papacy or the beast at the time of the end. Well, then you go on, and in 1991, there was the new Europe, and there's the woman riding the beast, and the stars over the head and so on. Now, of course, there might be 12 stars on the flag, but there's more than 12 nations in the EU. But there was the symbol of it in the Time magazine, of the woman riding the beast. And there was the papacy behind all that European Union. But Britain's not part of that. And the young lions are not part of that. And we're seeing all that come together. And upon her forehead, number 5, a name written, Mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. But there's the new Europe. There's the woman on the beast, 10 horns. The 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings over in Revelation 17, verses 12 to 13. But in summary, this is what you have. These have one mind. They shall give their power and strength unto the beast. The beast, Europe. These shall make war with the Lamb. Christ and the saints. And the Lamb shall win. Armageddon, first of all, the military forces, the dragon, Russia destroyed. Then Europe, the beast and the woman. Their time. They'll make war with the Lamb. He's an antichrist and so on, but the Lamb wins. And the kingdom, meanwhile, the temple's being built, the nations are nation of Israel's coming back home, the nations are brought under control, and the West puts down their rulership to Christ first, but Europe doesn't. When it's all over, then the kingdom begins. So interesting to think about those. Well, then we come to number 11. The number of disorder. The number that is lacking. Now, what lacking when you had 11? Yes. Any others you can think of? Not many. But here's an interesting one. There were 11 days' journey from Horeb into the land. And Israel wandered for another 38 years. There was something lacking.
One of Jacob's sons was lacking.
You're way ahead of me. He rose up that night. Did you get my notes beforehand? Took his 2 wives, 2 women servants, and his 11 sons. Why was it lacking? Who was next? No, not yet. Twelve apostles became 11. Who was the 12th one who went off the scene?
Judas,
very good. So now there's 11. It's late.
Where are those statues?
Pardon? Oh, that's in Rome, the Italy Temple in Rome. It's the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Oh. Haven't you been there?
I've been to Rome, but I haven't been to that.
What? You didn't go to a church?
What?
Yeah, so did we. I remember brothers saying, oh, you wouldn't get me going into the Vatican. No way, you know, the beast and everything. But you walk in there. And the book of Revelation is so true. Everywhere you look, everything you think about and see about, it says that's written in Revelation. The best thing ever to go to the Vatican. So if you want to go, go and see Kat. She'll pay for it too, probably. All right. Number 12. It's governmental perfection. So what's in your 12s? Well, here's the first one. Benjamin was born, Rachel died, tomb at Bethlehem, 11 sons became 12. And now there's perfection, governmental perfection, because that will then become the 12 tribes of Israel. Elam, 12 wells of water. Remember when they came out of Egypt and they're wandering in the desert, wanting water, and there were 12 wells. And of course, the encampment. How many tribes? 12. Four sides, three tribes on each, a key tribe with each, but 12. And of course, we know the 12 tribes of Israel. And then you come down to the, on the breastplate of the high priest, there were the 12 represented tribes in those gems. When they came over through the River Jordan, put 12 stones there when they crossed over, came into the land, crossing the River Jordan. 12 men, 12 stones, and Israel had waited 40 years to finally go across the River Jordan. Time had come to go into the promised land. What other 12s come to mind?
12 baskets.
Yep.
12 baskets.
Yeah. I'm looking for another one. In the scriptures. Not long after this came on the scene, 12.
Is it the cities of refuge?
Well, that's true. Come to that. 12 judges. Remember the judges cycle? Because we don't sort of look at all the people falling and got angry and oppression. We tend to go to what? Sin to suffering. And then we go to supplication. And then? And then they sin again. A judge comes on the scene. And then the cycle repeats itself. 12 judges. Solomon had 12 officers over all Israel. Each man his month and a year made provision, but 12 of them. See, this is the governmental side of things. Elijah, Mount Carmel, 12 stones. And you remember the story where God accepted his and Baal jumped around and cut themselves and everything like that. Elisha, 12 oxen. Come back to Revelation, the 12 stars. You see, it's the political administration of Rome that those 12 stars are talking about. More than 12 countries in the EU and everything, but 12 stars. Political administration of Rome. European banner, 12 stars, adopted in 1986. It's symbolic. Of course, in there, on that new Europe, there was the flag with the 12 stars. In the future, what 12 will be significant for us to see and be involved in?
12
tribes. Yep. 12 tribes sitting and the 12 apostles judging Christ, saints, kings and priests, but the 12 apostles with specific governmental perfection. Revelation 22. If we turn over a couple of pages, he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of on either side of the river there was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month, 12 months. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. The throne of God and the Lamb, the throne, it's associated with 12 in the day of the kingdom. There in the temple, the water's coming out, the symbolic of life from the Christ altar. And then you come to Revelation 21, and of course in that chapter, if we go back or look across from Revelation 22 to 21 at verse 9, there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and said, come, I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to great and high mountain, and he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And here you had having the glory of God. Her light was like unto stone and most precious, even like a jasper stone, had a wall great and high, 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels, names written thereon, the names of the 12 tribes. And on the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Wasn't a literal number, of course. When it came down, it said the city was 12,000 furlongs cubed. That's 2,500 kilometres a cube from here to Perth. It's a cube, one side. But there was the symbol of that which is soon to dawn. There's the fruit of those with Christ, their glory, their joy through the hope of Israel. There's the 12 linked with Israel and the 12 apostles, the water of life from the Christ order. All that is there. And we pray we're numbered among that. And then in Revelation, let's just come back. In Revelation 7 verse 4, remember you have the 144,000, that's 12 squared, 144, and then 1,000. So here's the number. It's not a literal number, of course, but it's made up of numbers from each of the 12 Israelitic tribes. So it's really a number of the redeemed. There's the 12, square it, 144, and then there's thousands. Be thousands and thousands in the day of the kingdom there. So there's the complete sealing of the redeemed at the return of Christ. So there are numbers 10, 11, and 12. What about 13? Now, 13 is the sixth prime number. That is, numbers you can't divide, multiply, or break up. 1, 3, 5, 7, 11, 13. And I guess in the world, 13 is a superstitious number, isn't it? Got a stigma attached to it. Popular explanations do not go back far enough really to have anything to do with 13. But what's the Bible say? I wonder what's in our scriptures if you look at 13. I mean, it's not a number I think we'd probably look at all. So if you get out of concordance and you type in, or Esau, and say type in 13, this is what you get. 12 years they served Kedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. And that's the first time 13's in the Bible, and it's associated with rebellion. Dead right. We had 3 of them. But the trouble is they don't always stop at their 13th year. Just remember that. And you worry more about them after they're married and have their kids, and when they get to 13, finally they get their bit back. Anyhow, 13. So perhaps you could say 13's rebellion. Let's put that in. 13 is rebellion. Well, Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised. So Ishmael was circumcised at 13. Now, Abraham and Ishmael, of course, were circumcised on the same day. And Abraham was quite old. But it's interesting that he was 13. And it's Ishmael. Now you think about Ishmael. It was prophesied of Ishmael that he would be a wild man. And he was. That was born out, even in his offspring, the Arabs. They're wild. And you look at the history of the Arabs and the wanderings they go and how they live and so on. So there's perhaps a 13. Any other 13s? Well, the fall of Jericho was after 13 times around the city. Remember, they went around how many times the first day? One. How many times at last? Seven. Six and seven? 13. 13 times they actually went around the city. So there's a 13. If you add up Jericho in its numeracy, it's 234, and that's 13 times 2 times 9. Just playing around with the numbers. But here's an interesting one. Solomon took 7 years to build the temple. 13 years building his own house. The Feast of Tabernacles. On the first day, 13 bullocks. Second day, 12. Third day, 11. Fourth day, 10 and so on. But 13 on the first day. And of course, Feast of Tabernacles, the Hebrew word for bullock actually comes from a word meaning to break out. So you can think of rebellion as breaking out. And here were bullocks that were offered for the Feast of Tabernacles. And in the future, Tabernacles is associated with the nations. Here's another one. 20 kings of Judah, including Athaliah. 7 were good and 13 turned away from God. Priestly number. What comes to mind with 24? Yes, Revelation 24, Revelation 4, verse 4. I think it's just, you start to realise lots of little things are tucked away in your mind and you bring them out in something like this. I'm not exposition, but it just helps us with the word. And 24 is 12 times 2. Two lots of 12. That was David's order, wasn't it? He set up 24 orders. And kings and priests in the kingdom, there's a symbology of it, 24, sitting around the one on the throne. And there will be our role as kings and priests, we pray, in the near future. 40, probation. So, what 40s come to mind? All right. Twice with Moses, actually, because he was in the mount, wasn't he? And he also, what did he do for 40 days in the mount? And Christ did it later too. And another one, Elijah. Fast. So here's some of them. The flood. Remember? 40 days and 40 nights, the rain hammered down. Absolutely hammered the earth. And then Moses, days in the mount. The days he fasted in the mount. Then the spies in the land. And Israel in the wilderness. And Elijah, his fasting. And Christ, his fasting. And after Christ's resurrection, 40 days with his disciples. And then he left them. Time of probation. So there are lots of things with 40 that we can think of. 50, Jubilee. haven't put any slides in here, but you remember how in the time of Jubilee then Israel were to release their slaves and so on. It was a special time period, 50. Time of Jubilee. Now, there are 66 books in the Bible. Has 66 got a meaning? Any thoughts? I don't know what it means. But this is what it could mean. 66 is 11 times 6. Huh? 11 is lacking. And 6 is man. And the Bible has all the things lacking in man. That's the best I can do. Now, 70, the nations. So what do you think about with nations, 70? Where does that first occur in the Bible?
Jacob coming back to Egypt.
Before that? Before that? Before that? Just before that? Very good. 70 nations. After? What story? The flood. Remember Shem, Ham and Japheth? You get to Genesis 10 and there are all the nations that came from Shem, Ham and Japheth. And there are 70 listed. Now let's come back to this Omicron. Yeah, they use the Greek letters. There's Delta, Delta, Alpha, Beta, Gamma, the Delta virus. Now it's Omicron. What's its number? What is it? 70! The nations, all nations have got Omicron. And it's just interesting.
It might be the end of it too.
It could be. Till another one comes, but you notice there is, you can do your homework on this, there is a Greek number in there, a letter in there, that is the first name of the leader of China. You'll notice I never use that name as one of the viruses.
A bit close to home.
So, anyway, just in passing. Sons of Joseph, born unto him, 70. There they were. Two sons, plus the house of Jacob that came into Egypt, 70. Nations came out of that. Now, we saw there were 12 wells of water. What else were there? 70 palm trees. Jew and Gentile. All right, here's another one. The Feast of Tabernacles, 13 bullocks, if it had them all up, 70. And what do you read in Zechariah 14? In the day of the kingdom, when the temple's established, the nations go up from year to year to worship and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Israel keeps the Passover. All those who are not baptized, the children, so on, from our day ago, the judgment seat will live in the land and they'll go out with the Jews and they'll keep the Passover. But the nations keep tabernacles. And there's 70 in that day, pointing forward. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and thy holy city. This is the 70 weeks prophecy, Daniel chapter 9. 70 weeks prophecy. Gabriel gave that to Daniel. That's a chapter that's spoken by an angel. It was a time period before the Messiah would appear. 70 weeks prophecy. That there would be a provision of a sacrifice for sin and ultimately would destroy the Gentile oppressor. 70 weeks prophecy. What are the 70 associated with Daniel and Babylon? Right. 70 years in Babylon. And there's the Cyrus Cylinder in the British Museum. The decree allowing the Jews to go back to Israel. It's only a little thing. But there it is in the British Museum. Proof. Accuracy of the Bible. And these things the Lord appointed other 70 or so to go out and to preach, to do the work. 12 apostles, but there was another 70. It's not a number necessarily scripturally, but AD 70. Jethro.
Yeah, Jethro said
that Moses was assigned 70. And AD 70. Right, it's only 70 been the number of date, but you know, we think of AD 70 in many ways. And I mean, we have the lampstand there, and sometimes people argue, well, how do they know what it looked like? Well, of course, you only got to go and see the Arch of Titus, and there it is engraved, depicting the fall of Jerusalem, and there's the lampstand. So the accuracy is really there, no, not a problem at all. Right, there's one other number, 153. Lots of things have been written about, 153 fishes. Now, it didn't say, or 150 or something like a round figure, 153. Very, very specific in John 21. 153. And there have been articles written about all sorts of reasons why it's 153. You can play around with that with mathematics, but I won't do that tonight. But what did it mean? Well, when you read it, there were three named in the boat. How many unnamed? Count them. Four. So there were seven in the boat. So there's something special about this boat and its and the crew in it. Seven. So it's got divine character stamped all over that incident. It's a miracle. When was the miracle? After what? After the resurrection of Christ. The only recorded miracle after his resurrection. This. You can't sort of say, if you think about it, 1 + 5 + 3 = 9. There's a finality about that. The last miracle, there's a finality about it. There were two miracle records of drafting of fish. First one, fishes of men. And the disciples, apostles were called. One at the beginning of the Lord's ministry, and now one at the end. And now the Christ work of the gospel preaching is to be continued by the apostles, by these fishermen. So it's certainly a definite number, and it's certainly a symbol of the saved, if you like. The number of the elect is known by God in their thousands and thousands for the consummation of his purpose. But what the 153 really stands for, we don't know. Well, lots of make ideas, but it's a definite number. So maybe that's what it's about, that from the beginning to the end with Christ, there was a definite number involved. And who knows when the last person, or probably a young person, is baptized and the Lord comes. Here's the redeemed number. Definite number. Conjecture, we don't know. I looked, and lo, a lamb stood upon Mount Zion. 144,000. As we said, 12 squared, 144 plus the thousands, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. There's the perfected Christ. Doesn't mean exactly 144,000, it's a multitude. And then Revelation 5, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, we're told. And John was permitted to see all those visions in the book of Revelation. He saw the host that no man could number, the thousands fulfilling the promises made to Abraham right back in Genesis. In thee shall all nations be blessed. There was the promise made to Abraham, the last promise, the seventh. And we pray, brethren, sisters, young people, that all of us are numbered there in that multitude.